Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the program, so that you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. As always, don't wait till later in the broadcast when you're out of time. Call now. We want to talk to you. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. So give us a call right now, 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Now here's Richard.
Thanks, Bob. Well, welcome, everyone. We're in the middle of our month of freedom.
Yep.
We've come out of months of slavery, and now we're in a month of freedom.
And it feels so good.
Yeah, it feels so good. I want to read you a story today, because this, I think, captures something that we've been trying to get across, and of course Jesus does it better than we do. It comes out of Luke 13, starting in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. I don't know what it is that has bound you, dear listener, what has bound you up for whatever amount of time, whether it's been 18 years or 18 minutes. There are things that get all of us. And Jesus sets us free in ways that we can't imagine.
Yeah.
He touches us, he speaks into our lives, and he unbinds us. And sometimes it's literal physical healing like this, where he essentially casts out a demon. Other times it's emotional healing or mental healing, where the spirit, after you've accepted Jesus, teaches you how to think differently, how to think in truth. And all of those kinds of things are designed to set you free from whatever was binding you up to faith in Jesus Christ. We have never, ever been set free to just go wandering off on our own. Jesus talked about that too. He said, be careful. There are people who may cast out a demon, but nothing replaces it. So the demon goes out and gets a bunch of its friends and comes back and makes it worse than at the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to be set free from whatever's binding you, but that the whole point of that is to be set free to worship the one true God in Jesus via the Holy Spirit. And there's just nothing better than this. And if you want to have the same experience that this woman had, come to Jesus. Yeah. Let him set you free.
Good stuff. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. And this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for joining us. Richard Piper, Bob Davis here today. And we want you to be a part of the broadcast. The lines are wide open right now. So if you've got a question about a particular Bible passage, or if there's some issue that you're facing in life and you need to discuss it, why, that's why we're here on the air live, so that you can do just exactly that. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Richard, some very troubling world issues going on at the time. We have the Malaysian airliner that was shot down. Then we have Israel's invasion of the Gaza Strip, and much blood being shed there in that area. How do you think all of this plays into end times? I know that's going to be a question that somebody's going to want to pose, so I'll just preempt that question right now.
As serious as this stuff is, I think it comes under the heading of something Jesus said in Matthew 24. You're going to see all of this stuff happening. These are just the beginning of labor pains.
Yeah.
There are truly evil people out there in the world. Sometimes you have to go to war against them. There are other truly evil people who just exist to cause pain and suffering for other people. You can't go to war against them because you can't get your hands on them. Yeah. There's nothing to defend, really. So what do you do in these situations? Well, the thing you have to fight, and I'm speaking personally here, you have to fight the feeling of wanting revenge. Lord, let me at them.
Yeah.
It's not going to do any good. I mean, it does me no good and does the world no good for me to become a terrorist to fight terrorists. If a terrorist is attacking me or my family, well, I'm going to fight them. That's not sure. terrorism. But yeah. to just go running around to find people and kill them, that's not God's way.
No.
So what do you do? We've said this 1,000 times, and we'll say it 1,000 more times. You start by fixing your eyes on Jesus. There are things that the Spirit may prompt you to do that he won't prompt me to do. And this can be varied all around the world, depending on the circumstances people are in, the giftings that God has given them, and what God needs at that moment in that place. Okay, there's not one size fits all. But if we are walking by faith and trusting in Jesus to keep our minds clear, to not be overwhelmed by the fear and the uncertainty and the doubt and the anger and all the rest of the emotions that quite naturally come up as a result of these terrible things, you have a chance of being at peace within yourself. Philippians 4 talks about this. Make your requests known to God and let the peace of God settle you down. Mm-hmm. Just calm you down a little bit so that you can think clearly and respond appropriately. And, this doesn't mean, please don't take this to mean that somehow you have to be the kind of person that whatever anybody does to you, you have to take it. That's never taught in the Bible. But what is taught in the Bible is that you don't take matters into your own hands. You wait for the Spirit to prompt you to respond or reply appropriately. And that appropriate thing can take a lot of forms. So in the meantime, we pray for the people who have lost loved ones in all of these situations. Mm-hmm. We pray for the people who are involved in the situations, whether they're perpetrators or responders to the situations. Jesus is the only answer to what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's not like 10 million of us are going to pray that terrorists quit doing terrorism and that's going to happen. It softens our hearts towards them. And it allows God, again, to be working through us and in the lives of other people so that we can start having a sensible conversation about stuff.
Yeah.
Politics isn't going to solve this issue.
No, not at all. And I understand the terrorism issue and so forth. I also, from what I read, we see the war cycles with major nations ramping up. And for the next few years, I think we're going to have ample opportunity for those of us who are in Christ and who come to him to put our faith in him and stand fully in his grace and his love and knowing that he has us in his hand.
Yeah. So let me be explicit.
Mm-hmm.
My reading of Revelation suggests that at some point in the future, in the midst of worse and worse and worse situations, somebody's going to hit on a plan for bringing peace to the Middle East.
Right.
That is one of the greatest indicators that we're in the end times, because the Bible says that when whoever this person is has controlled things and made it all peace and light for 3.5 years, then he's going to renege on that promise and be exposed as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Then, when God steps in and says, that's enough, believe me, folks, when God starts judging this world, it will be different than anything any of us could ever imagine. I mean, we hear about weather, and we hear about crop failures, and we hear about this and that, and we go, well, is God judging the earth? Not even close.
Yeah.
When God decides to end this thing, in his mercy, he's ending it. In his mercy, he's trying to get people to repent, and they won't. He's going to say enough is enough, and it will be done.
Absolutely.
It will be done. Jesus will come, and we're home.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, again, friends, you're tuned to Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to come in and be a part of the conversation, add to this particular part of it, or pose one of your own, why, we encourage your phone call right now, 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Hempstead, North Carolina, let's talk to Jim. And, Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Good to hear from you. Hope you are, too.
I am. I had a quick question. I was doing a little studying in James, and I noticed in chapter 2, he started talking about faith without works and how if you don't have works, then faith is dead. But I'm also understanding that works is not salvation, so I'm trying to figure out where he's incorporating that and the difference between the two. I don't understand what he's really saying.
Okay. James is writing primarily to Jewish believers. And one of the problems Jewish believers had was almost in their DNA. Jewish believers in those days, sometimes even these days, believed themselves to be so uniquely God's people that by virtue of the fact that they were born Jewish, they were saved. And he is telling them that genetics doesn't buy you anything. Only Jesus buys you something because he paid the debt for sin. And so he's talking to people who tend to say, okay, I'm one of God's chosen people, and Jesus is a nice guy, so I must be okay. And he says, no, that's not the case. What you need to do is, colloquially, put your money where your mouth is. If you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, then ask yourself the question, is the Holy Spirit living in me and working through me to do what he wants me to do? And if the answer is, I don't think so, then make it real. He's not saying that you'll be saved by a mixture of faith and works. He's saying a saved person who is living by faith is going to demonstrate in his or her life the works of God. It is just the way to do it. Pardon?
Okay, so that's what he means later on when he was talking about how even the demons know the Bible. So I guess because they knew the word, that's what they assumed was that was they were God's chosen. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that clears it up for me. I just was trying to figure out the audience. I know it's just 12 tribes that was outside of, I want to say it said Pakistan. I'm not sure if that's right or not, but okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Hope you keep listening. Yeah, hope you keep listening and call again. 800-677-9377. Lines available. Plenty of time remaining. Want to hear from you. Let's, in the meantime, go to Baltimore and talk to Alan, listening on WAVA. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hi there. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. Hope you are, too.
Good. I wanted to comment on your caller before last, the statement that you made about the end times. When you were talking about the Antichrist going to break his covenant in the middle of 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my understanding all my life until about a year or two ago. And that's based on Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27, right?
Yes, I believe that's correct. I'm thinking from memory here, but that's okay.
Yeah, and what it said is that the 70th week is somewhere in the future. Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you read those verses, it says that 70 weeks is determined upon thy people to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. If you think about those things,
Jesus did all of that.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, right. Jesus did all of that. When it says 70 weeks are determined, if you put the 70th week somewhere in the future, you're looking at about 400 and some weeks. Those 70 weeks started at 357 B.C., I believe, and went up to 27 A.D. That 70th week ended with Jesus Christ, because if you continue reading that verse, it says, but Messiah will be cut off in the middle of the 70th week. And that's what happened to Jesus. In 3.5 years of his ministry, he was cut off. and the next 3.5 years ended the 70th week. So when we say the Antichrist is going to make a treaty, that's the only scripture that I'm aware that's based on. Therefore, my understanding is that we really don't know what's going to happen with the Antichrist. I don't see anywhere else where it says he's going to make a treaty. And if you use that scripture, you're really saying that what Jesus did and who Jesus was in Daniel is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist really has nothing to do with it. I mean, someone just showed me this about a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But if you read that scripture, and you'll see all those things, six things, Jesus is the one that did that. And he
Correct.
Was cut off.
And that wasn't the, I'm looking, while you talk, I'm looking for the passage.
Yeah,
and I'd have to look.
Right.
There is a place in Revelation that talks about things happening in
yes.
the end times that involve the Antichrist. And it would make sense, sorry I'm not getting it in the exact spot, but it would make sense for Satan to try to imitate what Jesus did.
Counterfeit.
As a
counterfeit.
Well,
he's definitely going to do that.
And so when that all comes down and God says it's enough, I can't tell you how that's going to happen. I really don't know. Nobody does. I just know that God has given us enough information throughout the Bible to know that
right.
at the end, when he says it's enough, we'll know it. And those of us who are children of God can rest absolutely assured that Jesus is victorious and that the wrath
right.
of God is not going to touch us.
One thing we know is that he is going to stop the world from destroying itself. He's going to come in because it says if he doesn't come the second time, when he does, no flesh should be left alive on the earth.
Oh, yeah.
He's really coming as a rescue mission for the saints as well as the whole world.
Yes.
Put an end to it and set up this kingdom, really.
Yes. Yeah, we are quite literally hell-bent to destroy ourselves. And,
oh,
and
yes.
It's one of the great tragedies of our time that the vast majority of people believe that we're getting better, that evolution is moving us forward. And all that evolution is doing, all that belief system is doing, is killing us. And it will lead us to destruction. And thank God that Jesus isn't going to let that happen.
The only thing we've progressed in is technology, but the heart of man is desperately wicked, and we're getting back to how they were in the days of Noah.
Absolutely.
And man's heart's just going down the drain. I mean, the whole world is headed to hell.
Yeah.
In a handbasket.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why we do what we do here on Basic Gospel, because
right.
you know, I grew up as one of those people who was either petrified by or tried to petrify other people with end times, and
right.
that was so wrong. What I should be doing
yeah.
instead, what I should have been doing, what I do now is to point people to Jesus and say, "Come to life. There's your choice. Come to Jesus,
exactly.
receive life, and you will not believe the change." But
there is nothing to fear, no matter what we go through in the end times, because he is with us.
Yep.
He will always be with us to protect us. And whether we have to go through martyrdom or not, we have to stand for Jesus, no
yep.
matter what.
Yep.
But there's nothing to fear. I know times are going to get worse. I know that they're going to get worse for the church. And unfortunately, I do believe in the not-too-distant future here in America, you're going to see a vast number of people who call themselves Christians literally walk away from the church, walk away from Jesus Christ when the hammer comes down and persecution comes to this country.
Yes.
Most Christians don't have what it has to stand in America. They're not like other Christians in other countries. They've had it too easy, and they're not. A lot of them just aren't going to stand. I've had people tell, I had a minister tell me that if his life was on the line and they told him to deny Christ or we're going to kill you, he said, "I would deny Christ openly, but in my heart, I would say to the Lord, well, you're still Lord."
Yeah. Well, that,
you know? And
that's what,
you can't do that.
That's what human thinking brings you to. What spiritual
right.
thinking does is to say, "I can't answer that question. It's never happened to me. But I am trusting Jesus and the indwelling Holy Spirit to give me the strength to say what needs to be said if that time ever comes to me."
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But he's just confessing right now that that's what he would do out of fear.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father. Look at all the martyrs in the first 300 years of the Christian church, not to mention all of them since then. More martyrs in the last century than all in the previous 19 centuries, and really thousands and thousands of more right now. People come into Christ, and as soon as they come to Christ, their life is threatened, and they do not deny Jesus Christ, and they become martyrs right away.
Yeah.
This minister has been a minister for like 40 years that I'm talking about here in America.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference. That's the difference between religion and a relationship with the living Jesus.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, Alan.
Yeah,
thanks for your
call.
Hope you keep listening and call again if we can be a further help, and if you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, which you did very, very adequately today. 1-800-677-9377. We've got open lines right now and time remaining on the clock. If you call quickly, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Just a second. I found part of what I was looking for. It's in Revelation 13, when the beast out of the sea and the dragon and all this stuff, right? 42 months, that's the 3.5-year thing and all that. So, yes, there is a reference.
Very good. A question that kind of touches on something you were talking with Jim about earlier. This is from Walt in Wilmington, North Carolina. It says, though I've been a Christian for many years, I've been so blessed by your radio ministry. Your approach has addressed many of the convoluted explanations that I've heard over the years with regard to several key issues in understanding the Scriptures. Here's my issue. I used to know that I knew that I knew that I was saved. The Scriptures were alive to me, and I sensed that what I thought to be the Holy Spirit guiding my understanding of Scripture and life itself. The problem is that over the last few years, I've lost the assurance of my salvation. As in the soil's parable, I feel like the soil that had the weeds and thorns springing up, choking out the good news with the worries of the world. I've begun to seriously question whether what I experienced was the Lord, or was I fooling myself, mistaking some internal something for real faith in Christ. I know that once saved, I can never lose my salvation because it's a work of God, not of my own. I understand the gospel pretty well, but don't know the difference between knowing all of the right things and having saving faith. I'm not sure really what it means to respond in faith to God's call. These phrases are starting to sound like church talk, and I need a clear explanation of how to know what is genuine and what is just manufactured in my head. Any help that you can provide would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I'm sorry I can't help.
Okay.
No.
Moving on along.
Now, that is a great question, and every one of us has been there. I don't care who you are, how long you've been a believer in Jesus Christ, have been a child of God, you're going to have times like this.
Yeah.
And inevitably, it is caused by something, and it varies from person to person, but something gets our eyes off of Jesus and onto ourselves. Now, how do I put my eyes on Jesus? I can't see him. Well, that's what faith is. Right? Faith is about things we can't see.
Right.
I can't see forgiveness. I can't see salvation. I can't see justification. I can't see Jesus. But he has said they're all true. So I'm literally betting my life on the fact that he said it's true, therefore he's going to make it true in my life.
Yeah.
So when something happens to me, I do something boneheaded or I fail at something or somebody says something or does something to me, and I take my eyes off of that reality and put them on myself, And I start saying things like, I just don't feel saved, or I don't see enough fruit in my life, or whatever. It really does begin to sound like churchiness,
sure,
jargon,
yeah.
And that's a dead giveaway that I have started focusing on myself and my ability to perform, rather than on Jesus' ability to finish the work he started.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Richard. Well, friends, if you're looking for an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, you're longing to experience true, genuine freedom, and if you're ready to take off the religious mask that many of us wear and step fully into who you are as a child of God, then you are ready for The Cure. Written by John Lynch and his team at True Faced Ministries, a copy of The Cure can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Let us say thank you with a complimentary copy of The Cure. Allow God's cure to free you to walk in the fullness of his love and grace. Make your gift and request your copy. Visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call us by phone at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for your copy of The Cure. We hope you'll take advantage of this and at the same time, and most importantly, support the ministry. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for today's edition of Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.